It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a joy it is once again to be able to come to you and share with you the Word of God. Thank you for joining me for It's a Good Life. Well, today we want to look in 1 Thessalonians. And some of the background on the book is that Paul the Apostle was the author of the book, and we see Silas and Timothy mentioned here in verse 1. It talks about these people working with Paul. We see Paul was the author, and actually we say he is the scribe or the one who God gave the inspiration to write about these things. God is actually the author. Paul the Apostle was possibly the one who was responsible for writing over half of the New Testament. We're going through his epistles right now. And this leads up to the other epistles that are written by other individuals under the inspiration of God. Well, in 1 Thessalonians, we see the date of both letters to the Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, was soon after AD 50. And the setting is Thessalonica, the chief city in this Roman province. Well, Paul had preached the gospel in this city earlier, and you'll read about that in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And because of the Jews, Paul had to leave this city in a hurry. The Christians loved Paul so deeply, and he loved them. Paul first visits the city of Thessalonica, and it was not a long visit. He had to leave quickly, remember, because the Jews were going to kill him. Well, the key verses that I see here, and you may see other verses that you would see as key verses, well, I recommend that you do read the book. And if you see something that stands out to you as a key verse, then that's fine. But what I see here in chapter 3, in verses 6 through 7, the key verses here, starting with verse 6, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us." You see, Paul is speaking here, and he's talking about Timothy coming to him. And it goes on to say, "And brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." He says, we've gone through a lot, but we've been uplifted, knowing that your faith is holding strong, that you're serving God. I think of those individuals today who are possibly suffering for the cause of Christ, not necessarily in our country, but in other parts of the world, and how it would bring comfort to them to know that we are standing on the Word of God, and we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation. How it must comfort them to know that there are other individuals in the world who are standing firm upon the Word of God. You need to stand firm if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just as these people in Thessalonica were doing. Well, the purpose of the book of 1 Thessalonians is several things. But I want to look at one particular thing. Paul wishes to express his deep love and concern for the brethren here at Thessalonica. He reveals here that he is able to live because they remain standing in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3 talk about that. Well, there is a message to the church of Thessalonica, and Paul is telling these people, and he talks about an elect people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." We see that means that they have trusted Jesus as their Savior. God does not choose one person over another to be saved. He says all may come to him. And any person in this world who will trust Jesus Christ as Savior, after they've trusted him as Savior, they're on their way to heaven. They have eternal life. God is no respecter of persons. He says everybody can be saved if they'll trust Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that God knew before the foundation of the world who was going to be saved. Well, nowhere in Scripture does it say that God is choosing who would be saved. Now, I keep reminding you of this. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anyone. So God does not say you're going to be saved and you're going to be lost, you're going to be saved and you're not going to be saved. The elect simply means that he knew who was going to be saved. it doesn't say anywhere in scriptures that he has chosen certain individuals to die and go to hell. God is all-knowing. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He does not choose someone to go to hell and someone to go to heaven. Well, the Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. And when man goes there, man goes because he's chosen to go there. He's chosen himself to go to a devil's hell. God does not want anybody to go to hell. He wants people to come to a saving knowledge. Well, then not only is Paul writing to an elect people, those people who are saved, but he's writing to an exemplary people. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples," in other words, were examples, "to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Well, that's the way we need to be today as Christians. We need to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, that brings honor and glory to Him. And in turn, other people will see that life, and prayerfully and hopefully, they will turn to the Lord by seeing something in our lives, something that they need. And that something, that someone, is Jesus Christ. Well, Paul's also writing to an enthusiastic people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he's writing to an expectant people we see here as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, where he says, "To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." You see, Paul goes on to write an evangelistic approach. There's so much in this book, as I've mentioned before, in all the books of the Word of God. Paul says an evangelistic approach here is a worthy example. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 talks about that. And first of all, in these verses, he says, "Go with pure motives." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Well, let's read those. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." Well, he says this, "Everything that we presented to you was done with a pure motive. We didn't want anything in return. We simply wanted people to be saved. We wanted people to be on their way to heaven." Well, that's what Paul's talking about. His aim was to please God and not men. And we read about this in 1 Thessalonians. Once again, he wanted to be an example to the people who were there. And he preached the word of God for God's glory. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, we read, let's read the verses there. He says, "Do not be a burden to the listeners." In other words, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9 talks about it. It says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Well, in other words, I believe what Paul is saying here, they didn't become burdens to these people. That's Paul and the others who were laboring there. They became blessings to these people, leading them to the Lord and helping them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he talks about caring for the people as a mother. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Well, he was very calm and collected here. That's Paul. He's telling these people what they did when he came to them, when he came and others came with him to lead these people to the Lord. He's talking about helping them to know Jesus and to nurture them as a mother would nurture that child, and building that person up in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, so many people I find in our churches today go out and they lead someone to the Lord and they leave them. They don't help them to understand what's happened in their lives. Now, we as saved people, our job is not only to lead a person to the Lord. Our job is also to lead the person to Christ, to an understanding, to nurture that person to help that person understand what has taken place in their life. Help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about some of these things as Paul talks about here. He says in verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." He goes ahead and names many things here that people are to get away from. What he's saying in these verses 3 through 8, people need to live the life. Those people who are saved need to live the life, not to be saved, but because they are saved. Live it because you love the Lord. Live the Christian life. Why? Because He first loved you. He first loved us. He gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's given us the ability spiritually to walk in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're to help each other. We're to pray for each other. We're to help each other grow in the grace and knowledge. We see, he talks also about walking in brotherly love. This is Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He talks about walking honestly. He talks about comforting each other because of his coming in the clouds. That's the Lord. He says in chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And the reason these verses I just read are so important, verse 18 goes on to say, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We need to comfort each other. There's a need today, especially for the comfort to come from each other. Comfort each other, knowing that Jesus could come back for us who are saved at any moment. He could come back in the clouds and say, "Come up hither." And the Bible says in those verses that we're going to be changed. Now, I said he could come back in the clouds and say, "Come up hither." He could come back at any moment. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, according to the scriptures, and we will be fashioned like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Paul goes on to admonish these people, and there's some lessons that we need to learn here. One lesson is this: no matter what is going on around us, keep living the Christian life. No matter what happens to us, keep on keeping on. And also that Christians need to grow in faith by remembering to be faithful to other Christians, and by looking to other Christians because of their faithfulness. When we look to someone else who's being faithful, that gives us the opportunity. It encourages us that we need to be keeping on. We need to stay by the stuff and serve God no matter what happens in our lives. Stay true to the Lord. Paul the Apostle was, and he was a man. He was simply a man that was used of God. I want to be used of God. Do you? Then stay true to Him. Let God lead your life. Let Him guide you into all truth. And as I've said before, He is all truth. And He's willing to save anyone who would come to Him. And He's willing to help that saved person to live the Christian life, to serve Him, to keep on keeping on. May the Lord bless you as you trust Him. And please read the book of 1 Thessalonians.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.